Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Covered all over, wrapped in God's love, covered all over, a woman truly worthy of, covered all over. By God above, who could ask for anything more? I know sometimes things don't go right. No matter how hard you might try, seemingly you just can't win the fight. People talk about the way you dress. Lord knows they talk about you. But to the Muslim brother, you are a flower in the early morning dew. Oh, covered all over, wrapped in God's love, covered all over, a woman truly worthy of, covered all over, from head to toe, dressed by God above. Who could ask for anything more? Out of all the only one in place, out of all the women in this whole wide world, you're the only one to bring a smile to the master's face. On the judgment day, I'm sure he'll say, "Into the garden, my flower, I prepared it for you this day. You held on tightly to me. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. So I wrap you up in my words and wisdom, yeah, and made you a light for the whole of humanity. Covered all over."
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for tonight's show of Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. This particular program is referred to as a true love recipe. That will be the topic for our learning lab. We hope that you're in the learning mode. You have tuned in the program to focus on examining sound approaches to finding a mate, do's and don'ts, and a prescription for maintaining a successful, tranquil, and growth-filled marriage. This learning lab shares lessons that, inshallah, lead to a beautiful memorial wedding day and a fulfilling marriage with faith, affection, peace, and joy. With that, I'd like to bring to the program tonight, Mark Shahid. This is, I got you. Okay, I'm sorry. The mic is open, Mark.
Assalamu alaikum to you, Rashid Salam, and to our very astute radio listening audience at IWDM Radio. As always, I like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbi alameen. Ashadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa shahadu anna Muhammadin abduluhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. That is with God's name. The merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshiped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger, and what follows in that excellent salutation of prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shahid. I'm the host, the facilitator, and the producer of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that's heard each and every Thursday night right here on IWDM Radio. And we like to invite you tonight, those of you who have tuned in, to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I'm very much aware that many listen to IWDM Radio by way of the Internet. We'd like to invite you to participate by asking questions or making comments on some of the information that will be disseminated tonight. And for you to do that, you only have to have two tools, a sharp pencil or an ink pen, and a notebook. We also ask that you bring an open mind and an open heart to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Those of you who have dialed into the studio, you know, all you have to do is press 1 to be able to come in. An engineer will alert me that you got your hand up. You want to ask a question, make a comment. Those who tune in by way of the Internet, you do have to call in, so hopefully you got your pen and pad, and take down this number. To be able to call in to IWDM Radio, you have to dial 714-816-4673. Once again, the call-in number to IWDM Radio is 714-816-4673, and please press 1. We want you to know, those of you who may be tuned in for the first time, that the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, the Sister Learning Lab, to the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, it has a foundation. And we have three sources that we use for the dissemination of information and education on both. And it's the same. The first source that we use is Al-Quran, which is the final revelation for all of humanity, the guidance for all of humanity. The second source is a life example of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That simply means that the prayers and peace be upon the Prophet, in living the Quran. And the third source that we use is the tafsir. Tafsir simply means the clear explanation by a scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. These are the three vital components and the sources that we use that comprise the foundation for disseminating information and education on this learning lab. We also want you to know that the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab just recently, 2 weeks ago, celebrated our 8th anniversary on Blog Talk Radio, beginning with our sister station, AM 360 Radio, that's American Muslim 360 Radio, all the way back in the year of 2015. Actually, the date was October the 13th, 2015, and has been extended to IWDM Radio. This production is all about teaching the do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship and what constitutes a healthy, harmonious marriage. And for the past 4 months or better, we have started having on as guests those persons in our community who have longevity in their marriage and given their marriage narrative in terms of actually how Allah blessed them to be able to meet and just given their narrative in terms of longevity in their marriage. The objective is for the inspiration and motivation for the sacred institution of marriage, which it is that Allah has prescribed for us. This is so very important. And in conjunction with that, the true love recipe that Allah has blessed me with for a few years, that inshallah we look at 2024 actually putting it in a book. Yes, the true love recipe, my own personal true love recipe from A to Z in the English alphabet, where qualities and characteristics are natural and organic ingredients. No artificial colors or flavors. The only preservatives are natural preservatives designed to maintain and to sustain a long, happy marriage. So last weekend, we didn't have a couple on, but I did a monologue, which I don't like doing monologues, and it was a question that was brought to the lab in terms of the role and responsibility of both the man and the woman, the husband, and also the wife. And oftentimes, in this kind of succinct overview, we get the information, especially from imams, in terms of the role and responsibility that the man, the husband, have from the Quran, Al-Rajul Kanamuna Anisa. That's simply that Al-Rajul, which is the man, Kanamuna, describes the responsibility that Allah has given to him in terms of being a protector and maintainer. Now, oftentimes, you may hear people say provider, but that's not in the Quran. One of the 99 known attributes of Almighty God, Allah, is Al-Razak. Al-Razak means that Allah is the provider. In other words, when Allah gives a role and responsibility to anything, and his human creation included, he gives the provisions to be able to do it. And he says that in the Quran, where he has given one something more so than other, and because of the strength that he gives to the man to be able to fulfill his role as a protector, and once he takes care of her from what it is that he's been blessed to do. But also, in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, which is titled The Women, 34, you can read it for yourself, Allah goes on to say, and therefore, the righteous woman, stop right there, okay? So Allah is saying that he's given the role and responsibility for the man, the husband, and this is just not only, that's just on one level, but it has a higher meaning too, also, to be the protector and the maintainer. And that if he obeys Allah in doing that, being devoutly obedient, then Allah says, therefore, the righteous woman. So how is it that we can be righteous without being God conscious? The same is for the man. Very important that he has to be God conscious. And Imam Muhammad says that is called taqwa. Or we can look at it in terms of being conscious, regardful of what God's word, will, and way is for both his human creation, the man and the woman, the male and the female, the husband and the wife. So therefore, the righteous woman, or the conscious, regardful woman. We can say the conscious, regardful woman because being God conscious brings about righteousness. You can't have righteousness nor piety without being God conscious. Just think about that when you make the connection. And then God says, the devoutly righteous woman is devoutly obedient. But she is devoutly obedient to her Lord and Creator, just like the man is. And in that process of being devoutly obedient to her Lord and Creator, she also recognizes the role and responsibility that her husband has been given to protect and maintain her. So when we look at even the role and responsibility as parents, and particularly the mother, given the honor and distinction of actually being the first teacher and leader for our children, she has to protect them. And so for her to be able to protect them, they have to obey her. If she says, don't go any further than the backyard, don't come out of the gate, don't play ball in the street. All of this is designed, you understand, to protect the child. So obedience is needed and necessary for her to be a good protector or guardian in regards to her children. Well, in the sacred institution of marriage, there can be instances such as that. Don't go to the door. I will answer the door. Or you can't tell me what to do. You know, you can't tell me what to do in that regard. She has to know and understand and being conscious regardful of what his role and responsibility, that he should be the one that go to the door. And especially if somebody is at the door late at night, it could be danger or harm that could be lurking there or hearing noises outside. He should be the one checking it out. Or maybe she has a night job. And he says, sweetheart, make sure you have your house key out of your purse and have it in your hand. Don't have it down in your pocketbook and you there rambling around trying to find your keys. You know, this is him being able to perform his role as being a protector. Oh, you can't tell me what to do. I got a mind of my own. No. So we can see here that this is needed and necessary to understand that. And then God goes on to say, and she is the guard in his absence, what it is that Allah will have her to guard. Now, I touched the surface last week by simply saying that one of the things that she is the guard. So she's a protector too. But what is that she is the guard? She's a guard her husband's character. She is the guard his character. I gave a narrative about Prophet Ibrahim and his son, Prophet Ishmael. And when Ishmael was married the first time, he came to visit Ishmael. But his wife did not know that this traveler was, in fact, his father. So Ishmael had been struggling. He had been struggling to find work, to find work, but he was going out every day doing the best he could to fulfill his role in terms of maintaining his wife. However, as the narrative goes, his first wife was saying negative things about him to this stranger that she didn't know was his father. So after the conversation, she says, who should I tell? Ishmael came by. So Ibrahim just simply said, well, just tell him a friend came by. She said, well, any other message? He says, yes. Tell him I said, change the doorposts. So when Ishmael came in later on that evening, his wife said, there was an old man that came by and was looking for you. He said, well, what did he say? He said, well, just let him know that he was a friend. He said, well, did he say anything else? She said, yes. He told me to tell you to change the doorposts. So that was code language. So Ishmael understood. He said, oh, that was my father. He told me to divorce you. So as the narrative goes, Ishmael got married again. Second wife, it was a difference, but there was no difference in terms of his work situation, whereas he still was struggling to keep work to be able to maintain her in his role and responsibility. But the difference was is that this wife had a different disposition. So once again, Ibrahim visited her. She, like the first wife, did not know who he was, had never met him. And he inquired in terms of Ishmael's whereabouts. And so she had a lot of accolades in terms of what it was, the good that she saw in him, how he's always trying. It's been a struggle for him, but how she really appreciated and valued him as a husband, trying to fulfill his role and responsibility. So she says, by the way, who should I tell him that came looking for him? He simply said, she said, just tell him a friend. He says, anything else you want me to tell him? I said, yes. He said, tell him to keep the doorpost. So when Ishmael comes home, she says, she was even more complimentary, said, a very handsome gentleman came by looking for you. Ishmael said, yes. He said, so did he have anything to say? He said, yes. He said, just tell him a friend stopped by. He said, well, did he say anything? He said, yes. He said, he told me to tell you to keep the doorpost. He says, oh, that was my father. He told me, you're a keeper, to keep you. Now, this narration only goes further to explain in terms of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, that she is the guard in her husband's absence, we would have the guard. And Allah also says in the Quran, in Surah 49, would you like to eat your brother's flesh? You see? So in looking at that, we see that she also has a role and responsibility to help to sustain and maintain the sacred institution of marriage, but she also is a protector, and she's a protector of her husband's character. Now, there's more in regards to that, but if we actually can understand that and can see it in a rational, logic way, there's a lot of logic that's in the Quran. When Allah gives ayats, instructing ayats and instructing us in terms of our role and responsibility. So that's my recap from last week. So you can always go back to the archives here at IWDM Radio and get it in its entirety. And so with no further ado, I am so happy and elated in regards to this outstanding couple accepting my invitation. Allah has blessed them with longevity in their marriage. I happen to have met them on a few occasions in all. And they're very, very happy couple. They work together, travel together, and all. Allah has blessed them. The 19th of this month. They've been 1 week from today, which has been the 19th. They celebrated their 44th anniversary. Takbir, Allahu Akbar, and they accept the invitation of our brother, Henry and Joyce Hasib. And at this time, I'd like to extend the greetings of peace to both of them. Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to IWDM Radio, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Mark, we appreciate the invitation. You know, it's always good when good people get together. You know, we always see on the, as Dr. Jamal used to say, the television, all of the bad things that go in the world, but we don't get a chance a lot of times to experience unless we have occasions like this.
Yes.
I will say before we get started, it was nice when you went on a cruise, I think a few years ago. Time go by so fast.
Yeah, it was a beautiful experience. And, you know, this is a thing in terms of, as I said earlier, the objective, you know, in having so many different couples on, and Allah has blessed them for many, many, many years, is just to show that the sacred institution of marriage is really truly understood, and that there have been couples that in the association of Imam W.D. Muhammad, you know, that have been able to have this experience. So this is designed for inspiration and motivation, and of course, having the couples on and giving their marriage narrative and also the insight of the true love recipe, a lot of insight and a lot of wisdom has been conveyed to our radio listening audience. You know, unlike other productions that you hear in mainstream media, you hear people denigrating the sacred institution of marriage. And so consequently, our young people, they don't have a desire to even want to be married, and neither do they have models. So we want to really, really highlight those couples that Allah has blessed in terms of longevity and just some of the things that they have in their marriage that have helped to sustain the marriage for the period of time that Allah has blessed them to. So we want to get right to it here. And here on the Question of Marriage Learning Lab, we always have ladies first, sisters first in that regard. And what I'm going to do, I'll be alternating back and forth. I know Brother Henry Hasib has been on IWDM radio before, but his wife Joyce Hasib has not. So my first question would be, before we really get into the marriage narrative in terms of how you met and everything, I want to give both of you opportunity, maybe say a couple of minutes, two minutes or so, to just to briefly introduce yourself in terms of who are you, you know, and everything, and maybe a little background yourself, where you grew up and family or what in that regard, and then we'll get into the interview in regards to your marriage narrative. So first and foremost, my dear sister Joyce Hasib, want to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself. Who is Joyce Hasib? And I also want to welcome you once again to IWDM Radio and the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I truly, truly appreciate you accepting this invitation. Give you a couple of minutes to just give an intro as to who is Joyce Hasib. Once again, welcome. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Joyce.
Alaikum assalam, and thank you for allowing us to be on your show. I am Joyce Hasib, and my maiden name is Joyce Priam, and I grew up in Steele, Alabama. Came from a family of seven. It was seven of us.
Okay.
Yeah. I was the baby, and I noticed for a long time that I wanted to treat people like, you know, treat people the way I would like to be treated. And I was, I knew I had a kind spirit growing up through the years, and I didn't bother anybody, but if they bothered me, then I stood my ground, and which I did have a few little escapades or episodes with some of the next children or school children, but all along I knew that I wanted to be a nurse, and the reason for that was because my mother, during that time, they wouldn't allow the children to go in the hospital, so I had to stand in the parking lot to watch my mother get in the window, and then when she came home, I wasn't able to take care of my older sister, had to take care of her, and I knew right then that I wanted to be a nurse. And that was my long-time goal, that I wanted to be a nurse, and I it accomplished that. And another thing that I knew, I always wanted to be married and have lots of children. Well, with lots of children later, Mr. Hasib here. But yes, like I said, I knew I was a kind person, and I was God conscious, as you mentioned there.
Yes.
Was God conscious. That was one of the things that helped me throughout the years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And did I know that God had a plan for me, and he was leading me to to this and to Al-Islam. And that's briefly into my life here.
Alhamdulillah. No, alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Boy, I tell you, we already learned something about George Hasib in terms of your beginning, your family, and also your goal in life. And Allah bless you to be able to do that, and that you're a God-conscious woman. So alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Sister Joyce, for that intro. Now I'm going to my brother here, brother and friend, Henry Hasib. I'm going to give you about 2 minutes, 2 to 3 minutes, just to introduce yourself. And, of course, I know that there are a lot of people that's listening in to IWDM Radio. A lot of them are familiar with you, you know, in terms of you co-hosting with Dr. Jamal Rashid Rahim Allah, who recently passed away. And for 9 years, you two have been together on our sister station, AM360. And now you are the host of Solutions for Critical Issues. So, Brother Henry Hasib, I want to give you 2 to 3 minutes to introduce yourself and some about your background so our radio listening audience can know who is Henry Hasib. Once again, welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Assalamu alaikum again.
Assalamu alaikum, and thank you for inviting us to the program. Mark, I'm usually referred to by those who know Joyce and Henry as Joyce's husband.
That's
a,
that's good one. I like
Joyce. Matter of fact, over the years, and all, especially the other females, if Joyce is not around and they're introducing me, that's the way they introduce me. This is Joyce's husband. So I always, we're going to keep him straight. I think I can't remember. I believe I was 22 or 23 when we met. We didn't have a long courtship at the time there. When I first saw her, the second time I saw her, the first time I saw her, I don't think she seen me. We weren't introduced to each other, but I saw her from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
And
let me interject there. Mm-hmm. I noticed him also, but the timing wasn't right at the time.
Brother Henry, you got to jump the gun a little bit. We want to get into that. We just want to know a little something about Henry Hasib at first, and then we're going to get into the interview as to who saw who first when you met. So we was going to get just give us a little something else about you, Brother Henry Hasib, and your background, and then we're going to proceed so we have like a little structure order here, whereas
right.
Then, you know, I'll be asking the questions, and then you're going to have an opportunity. Your wife is going to have an opportunity, and maybe where you leave something out, she can fill in, and vice versa. That's how we're going to do it. So anything else you'd like to say about Henry Hasib, your family background or anything of that nature, just like what your wife just did a couple of few minutes ago.
I had two families in growing up, one on my father's side and one on my mother's side.
Mm-hmm.
My mother had 8 children,
mm-hmm.
and my father had 17 children, and then plus 2.
Are we talking about 17 plus the 8 in the 17?
Yeah, say what? No, it made 19 with the 2 of us.
Okay, I got you.
He had 17, and then the 2 of us made 19.
Okay.
So I never missed the loneliness of brothers and sisters. I've always had them, but I had them from the 80s. That they say, hey, Dad, your brother old enough to be your daddy. I say, yes, he is. So there, and we were able in our later years to kind of bond even more there. Matter of fact, the family gathering here during the time of our anniversary, they used to come in to town there for days. But I grew up a simple life. I liked the simple life there. I never really wanted much for myself. I like to see other people happy. Look like I do a lot to make other people happy, but it don't take a lot for me to be happy there. But I when I did meet Joyce when we met,
We don't want to go there yet in terms of when you met. That's the next question. So we got a little something about you now, Brother Henry. You came from a large family. Your mother, quite a few children, but your father, a lot of children, 19 in total. I guess the only question I would ask in regards to that, where were you ranked in those 19 children?
I'm 3 from the bottom.
Oh.
I'm 3rd from the bottom.
You're 3 from the bottom. Okay.
Yes. I got two others that's younger than me.
Okay. And, so we got 17, 18, 19 behind you. So you was like around about 16 in according to my math. So you number 16.
Right. About 17, 18, and 19. The 3 of us, and I got 2 other brothers that's after me. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, okay. That's good. But, so now what we're going to do, this is how we're going to do it. And so we'll want to give both of you equal enough time, and we always say sisters first. However, I will alternate at times. So now we're going to get into your marriage narrative. And so the first question is, how did you meet? When did you meet? When did you meet? And how did you meet? So I'm going to go to your wife first, Brother Henry. You're going to have an opportunity. So, give her opportunity to say, when did you two meet, Joyce? And then how did you meet from your recollection? So, Joyce?
Yeah. We had a unique situation.
Can you speak up just a little bit?
We had a unique situation, Henry and I, because this wasn't our first marriage. You know, he was married, and I was married, but we lost our spouses. He lost his wife, and I lost my husband, and that turn was leading up to how we met during the time that. I had a girlfriend, she had become Muslim, and she invited me to the masjid, and that was actually the first time that I saw Henry, but he had become, was a widow at that time with his 3 little small children that he had, and I didn't lose my husband until the next year. So, but anyway, that was the first time that I saw him. And then my girlfriend invited me to one of the masjid Mother's Day program they had. She wanted me to sing. So that's the thing that I saw Henry at that time. I think that's the time that he noticed me at that particular time. But during that time, I was a Christian. I was a Christian all my life, and I was active in the church and everything. And so, so my girlfriend and another one of the brothers in the masjid, since we were 2 widowers and widower, they were telling me about him and telling him about me and everything. And so that's actually we got together.
You first met. Now, what's the timeline here, Joyce, that you could let our radio listening audience know the timeline? About what year would that have been when you first met your husband-to-be, Henry? About what year are we looking at? Can you recall approximately?
Yes, you're looking at 1979.
Okay, 79. Mm-hmm. Okay, 79. Okay, so alhamdulillah. And at that time, your girlfriend was a Muslim, sister friend was a Muslim. She invited you, and you saw him, and he saw you. He was already a widower, and that he lost his wife. And subsequently, I think you said the next year you actually lost your husband. He had three children at that time, so that's the first time that you saw each other. Now, we're going to keep it right there, but it's going to be a progression in your narrative, the next question I'm going to ask. But I'm going to go to your husband, Henry.
Well,
all I want
to correct
you to do, pardon me.
Mark.
Go ahead.
When my girlfriend first invited me to the masjid there, I was still married at that particular time.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
yes.
I got that.
So,
you said that it was for about another year before you actually lost him. But that's the first time you saw him,
okay,
even though you were married. Correct?
Okay, but that was like maybe 78.
78, yeah.
70,
okay.
77 in that particular time.
Okay.
There.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah, we got it straight. Okay, thank you so much. Now I'm going to you, Henry, in terms from your recollection, the first time you met your wife-to-be, Joyce, what is it you can recall the situation and circumstance when you first met her? Just when you first met her, we want to just take it step by step here. When you first met her,
The first time I recognized and met her, because you know we always had people come to the masjid, if she came, I didn't know. I wouldn't be able to bear witness that she was there that day. Saw me,
okay.
But I didn't see her, so
okay.
That's
okay.
Know.
That's fine. She saw you. She saw you, but you didn't see her, and you don't have any recollection.
Yes,
so what I need you to do then is just recall from your memory when you first noticed her. That's where you want to come from, okay?
The first time I noticed her was at the Mother's Day program that the masjid was given in May of that year, whenever Mother's Day was that Sunday. And we usually always tried to bring about some type of unity there with the community there. So we invited people to invite their parents and all. And I was working as usual there, trying to see that the program was put on and everything went all right. So I was always kind of in the background. So when I saw Joyce, I was in the back of the room there. And she was singing a song to, I believe, her mother and mother-in-law at that time during that May. And I saw her, and I had been told about her, but that wasn't ringing a bell with me. You know, I got a friend. Okay, well, in my mind, you keep your friend. I can find my own way.
In other words, a friend had actually just told you about her, but I guess it's safe to say what you're saying, at that point, you really just didn't have any interest at that point, correct?
I didn't have any interest until I saw her.
Until you saw her, you actually laid eyes on her. So I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to stay with you right now so we can advance your narrative. Okay, so what you just said is profound. So, Brother Henry, when you when you first got opportunity just to see your wife, to be Joyce, really see her, what was your thinking when you saw her? And was there an immediate attraction? Is that you may have experienced at that point? Talk to the radio listeners. Talk to us in regards when you first laid eyes on your wife to be Joyce.
Now, when I saw her, it was she was singing the song. Now, I didn't get a chance to meet her.
Okay.
I just saw her from the distance. I don't know if she saw me or not at that particular time. But I saw her singing the song and watched her sing the song. And then the next meeting I had with her, I think, was in June. And I was in the real estate business. And she was looking for a home.
Oh.
So I interviewed her her ready to get a home. She told me what she was looking for and everything. And this is the same woman that I saw a few weeks ago at the Mother's Day program.
Okay.
So when she left, after I interviewed and she left and all, because we usually interviewed people in our conference room when they came in, and we talked there for a few minutes across the table from each other there. And when she left, I told my secretary, I said, "You see that woman there?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going." And one of the agents that I met with maybe about 2 months ago, he came and he related that story back to me. He said, "I remember well, say there when you first met Joyce." And I think Joyce might have been her school teacher, I believe, there, but he knew her evidently before I did there, but I don't know how that, but he remembered this. He said, because he brought it up to me, he said, "I remember when she walked out that door, you said, 'You see that woman there?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to marry her.'" So you actually
said that you was on record as saying, "You see that woman there when she left out of the room, you see that woman there? I'm going to marry her. That's going to be my wife." You remember that vividly, or he made you remember that?
He did too, but and the reason why, I was a Muslim, a strong faith. Then I asked Allah to bless me with a wife. So I had 3 children at the time, and I was looking for a wife, but you know, our society has got so much out here. So I say, "Allah, you know what I need. You know, I want not just any woman. I need a wife. That'd be a wife and a mother with my children."
Okay. So we're going to hold you right there. So alhamdulillah, you gave quite a bit of information, and we're going to bring your wife back in on your marriage narrative. So, Joyce, my question is, you just heard your husband in terms when he first really noticed you. Now, he didn't say anything about how beautiful your voice was or anything, but when he noticed you, and then also the fact that you were actually looking for a house, he's already in the business. It's just like this is just made for television, so to speak. He's an agent. I mean, he's in real estate business, and you're looking for a home, and, of course, the connection already was there. So my question to you would be, when you first encountered him, and just even conversation, was there anything that was outstanding about Henry that you may have noticed and observed in your initial meeting that you can share with the radio listening audience? Joyce?
Well, I can start back from the reason how we met. He became a real agent was through my girlfriend, this Muslim, and as well as one of the Muslim brothers there. And this is where I heard about him from and heard that he was a real estate agent, and they were recommending me to him.
Okay.
So they had told me, and they naturally had told me about him. And so that mm-hmm. is the reason we actually met and came together. They, like I said, they were promoting him. Oh, he's a good brother, and this and that. And that.
these were the Muslim sisters. I'm taking it, or that you knew.
Brother. Yeah, the Muslim brother and the brother sister. They kept telling me about it. Oh, he's a brother.
Okay.
But actually, I was not looking for a husband at that particular time, and I had asked God, you know, when the time comes, I said, you know, send me somebody that, you know, would love me and would love my children, because I had two little girls, you know.
Okay.
Or one. And also, we came with a ready-made family already. He had small babies. I had small babies. So,
okay.
How, you know, we met, I went to his office there. And like I said, I wasn't interested at that particular time, but I could see he was.
So it was obvious to you that he was interested in you, but you still, it wasn't like, I'm not really ready to get married, looking for a husband right now. But
right.
what made it so obvious?
Well, when it came time for the closing, and we had stopped and got out of our cars, and I wanted to thank him, and I told him I wanted to thank him for all of his help and helping me find a house. And I said, well, you know, if you're ever in the neighborhood, you can stop by for dinner. And I said, well, I'd like to, how can I ever repay you? And so I wanted to shake his hand. So he said, most of my lady friends give me a kiss. So I said, oh, no. I said, if you ever would stop by for dinner. So, but anyway, it was like he was in the neighborhood practically every night. You know, so I saw the good qualities in him. So I asked the Lord to send me somebody and let me know that that was the person that was for me. And he showed me that Henry Hasid was the one for me that he wanted from me.
Alhamdulillah. That's beautiful. That's beautiful, Joy. It's beautiful. Now I'm coming back to you, Henry. And we're going to have to take a break here in a few minutes. But, Henry, okay, you just heard your wife, you know, give that description in terms of she being very intuitive. And of course, Allah blesses women in terms of being very intuitive. They can pick up on, you know, speech, we call meta message, or even body language and all of that and everything. So were you actually at that point trying to get her attention to let her know that you really, really was interested in her? Were you being overt or more covert in terms of your approach? Did it ever hit you that I just want to just say to her, I really, really am interested in you? And or did she provide the opportunity for you when she said, if you're ever in the area, won't you, you could just stop by and have dinner? So talk to us, Henry,
well,
in regards to where we at in the narrative now.
I was looking for a wife. I was looking, actively looking for a wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I had several interviews. And I had a system that I guess nobody really knew but me and my sister. So if I was...
You had a system for finding a wife? Is that what you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did have small children. And my sister was keeping them. She was there to keeping those children. So what I would do, if I was interested in someone, I would take them over to meet her.
Okay.
And we had our code. All she would do is shake her head one way or another. So,
that's your sister, right? And she would just give you the sign, yay or not, or nay.
I don't care what you think. This ain't for you. anyway, took a few people over to meet her, and she said, mm-mm. So I knew, okay, that was him. So I try again because I'm actively looking for a wife, and she said, mm-mm.
Okay.
So when Joyce over, there after we kind of got to know each other a little bit, when she saw Joyce, and she only met him all once, and Joyce is the only one that she met more than once, she said, yeah. She said, yeah.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Let me ask you this, because we're only about a minute and a half from taking first pause from the course. When your sister kind of gave you the green light, so to speak, and y'all code communication, share with us, how did you feel, Henry? And you put a lot, I'm thinking you put a lot of stock in your sister to be able to actually identify certain type of qualities in a woman that you would need as a wife, and also you had three young children that also could and would be perhaps a good mother. How did you feel at that point when she gave you the green light?
Well, she was like the mother, I guess, of the family, because our mother had passed.
Yes.
So I had a lot of confidence in her, and she was going to do what she needed to do to protect my children. So if I went the wrong way, I probably would have had to fight her to get my children, because she wouldn't want to let them go. So she met Joyce, and this is the first meeting now. It wasn't a meeting after meeting, getting to know. He would look at me, and we'd make some contact, and she'd shake her head one way or another. So
you could read the message.
Oh, yeah.
And looking at her eyes and watching the movement of her head, you knew just exactly what she was thinking. And I'm just thinking, as we get ready to take a pause for the call, so I'm just thinking, did it ever come to your mind, say, am I ever going to choose the right woman here? Because she had dismissed a few of them that you had already brought before you actually brought Joyce to meet her. Did that ever occur to you, or did it ever dawn on you in that regard?
Yeah, she could tell the feeling the others. There really wasn't a connection there, but just a need more. But they wouldn't, in her eyesight, because we never really talked about it after that. And I didn't ask her to do that.
Okay. Well, so Brother Henry, we're going to stop there, because we got to take this pause here, let you catch your breath and your wife catch your breath. But when we come back, we're going to advance your marriage narrative after you kind of get the green light, and to see what type of courtship, or if there was a courtship, and how long that was, and in terms of you all getting to know each other even better. So begin to start thinking in regards to that, and what you can share with the radio listening audience and all. So I'm going to say to those who just tuned in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that's hosted by yours truly, Mark Shahid. And I have as my honored guest couple, giving their marriage narrative, Henry and Joyce Hasib, and they've given a lot of information already, and I know some of you just curious in terms of after Brother Henry gets the okay from his sister acting in the capacity of a mother in terms of her approval, then what transpires. So we're going to ask you to stick and stay. Please don't stray away. We're going to be right back as we take this pause for the calls.
All right, Mark, you have about three hands raised. Well, okay.
Well, we'll get to them. Yes, we'll get to them. We got to go with the procedure here. IWDM Radio. You're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with your host, Mark Shaheed, and our honored couple giving their marriage narrative. They have joined me on the Courtship and Marriage narrative tonight is Henry and Joyce Hasib, and we're doing an outstanding job in terms of disseminating information in regards to their marriage narrative. I want to say to the radio listening audience is Rashid Salam. suggest to switch with a new engineer. I'm going to ask you, our radio listeners, to please be patient. I have at least two more quick questions to get some information from them in regards to their courtship in terms of getting to know each other and the qualities and characteristics that they saw in each other that made each other attractive to them. We already know that there was some chemistry that was there, obviously. We're going to find that out from our sister Joyce in terms of that, but also qualities and characteristics, because remember, this is a learning lab. It's a learning lab. So you can see the external physical appearance in terms of attractiveness for a woman, beauty, and for a man, handsome. And that can be an attraction, but it has to be even more than that in terms of the sacred institution of marriage. So these questions are designed to extrapolate, to bring out from the couples in terms of what they saw in them. So I also want you to know, Henry and Joyce, that when you hear this bell, that don't mean to stop. So don't get alarmed by that. But in the process of disseminating the information in terms of qualities and characteristics in your courtship that you saw in Joyce and then vice versa, Joyce, that you saw in Henry, you may have inadvertently touched on one of the qualities and characteristics in the true love recipe. So just know and understand that. So radio listeners, keep your hands up. Be patient. We're going to get to everybody. Inshallah, I assure you of that. You'll be able to ask your question or make your comment to the couple. So line up. Stay in line. Don't go out, then you lose your spot. You're going to get that opportunity to ask them a question or make a comment based on their marriage narrative. So just be a little patient. As a matter of fact, that word patient, the next letter that we get to in terms of P, that's one of the qualities and characteristics in the true love recipe is needed and necessary. So let's get back to it. And I want to check in and make sure that my engineer extraordinaire is the priest Abdul Hadi. Can I get a check on that? Assalamu alaikum. Sister Hadi, are you with us?
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Mark. Yes, I am.
Okay, alhamdulillah, and thank you so much, and welcome. All right, we're going to get back to this here, and I left y'all with the question in regards to that. So I just want to give each one of you a couple of minutes, if you would, and this is a very important part of the interview or the marriage narrative. So you're at the point, you understand, whereas both of you, know in terms of there's an interest that's there. Of course, Joyce has been feeding him dinners and everything. He took up on the invitation in terms of that. So we want to get to the point where as now, Joyce, that you know he's interested in everything, when did you really begin to start having conversation? And first and foremost, how long was the courtship? And then during this courtship, we say courtship here because, you know, in Islam we don't date. We make the distinction between dating. Dating can be something in Western society could go on forever and a day and all. But as we heard Henry say over and over again, he was looking for a wife, you know, and at one point you weren't. So I guess the question would have to be for you, when did you become interested, and when did the courtship actually begin in the terms of the conversation, whereas that you saw something more in him in terms of attractive qualities? So if you could disseminate some information in regards to that, we would greatly appreciate it. Joyce?
Yes. I think I saw my interest had grown in Henry after that first dinner.
Okay.
To the house. I got to know him a little bit, and he talked to me about the, you know, the religion, Al Islam and all, and I had some concerns that, because I was a Christian, and I thought maybe I hadn't had chance to grieve as much as I should have. And so can you explain to me
about
that,
how long was that in time wise? Because you know, for those who may have just tuned in grieving in terms of that you were married, but you had lost your husband at this time, and so obviously, you know, Allah even acknowledges that in the Quran, that it has to be at least a period, and of course, you were a Christian coming into the religion of Islam, so just in this learning lab is actually 3 months. No, excuse me, 4 months and 10 days. Sorry, 4 months and 10 days. 4 months and 10 days in the Quran. And if it's like a divorce, it's 3 months. 4 months and 10 days, as Allah states in the Quran. So, Joyce, where are we here? You know he's interested. So speak to us from that perspective. You notice something after the first time he comes to dinner. And I guess we could say the interest starts there, the conversation. What attracted you? Anything in the conversation, subsequent conversations when he would come to dinner or what, or even talking on the phone that you can share with the radio listener audience, Joyce?
Well, like I said, explained to me some things in the Quran, which I felt like I hadn't grieved long enough, and then I was concerned about in-laws would feel. And so he told me that, you know, in the Quran, it's 4 months. And it had been 6 months.
Okay, been 6 months since you lost your husband. So it's better than 4 months and 10 days. Okay, gotcha.
So that kind of helped me a little bit there. And like I said, at the beginning, I wasn't really looking for anybody. But then as I got to know him and as they, my friend, girlfriend, and Muslim brother friend there was telling me about him and said he was a good brother and all, and a good provider, and he was a good father for his children. Those are all the things that I wanted. And it frightened me. I would have to start all over again to try to find that Mr. Wright for me. So I realized, like I said, that I had asked God to let me be able to see when that the light was in front of my eyes, and he blessed me to see that was Henry, as I said before. And so I saw he had all the qualities of a good person, a good human being that I was wanting and needing for myself and for my children to be able to. You know, you wanted your children to be able to love and trust the person that you were going to spend the rest of your life, you know, spend the rest of your life with. So all of that made a difference to me. And so after that, it was only 3 months of courtship.
Okay.
And we met the same
three
year.
Months. 3 months, 3 months of courtship, you know, and at 3 months, I'm quite sure, quite a bit of conversation, communication, and at approximately 3 months of courtship. So, anything else you can share? You heard me do that. You heard the bell do that. One of the qualities and characteristics that you just stated inadvertently is that you could trust. Big quality and characteristic in true love. Trust is a must, otherwise the relationship will become a bust. No trust. So can you tell us?
I knew he was.
Go ahead.
Already, so that was a plus. That was the biggest. That's the first thing. God conscious. and trying to live a righteous life. So that all of that mattered to me. And what we tried to do from then is to, we brought our children together to go places and do things with them so they would get to know one another and get used to being around each other. So things that we did also prior to getting married.
Alhamdulillah. That was one other another quality and characteristic for those of you listening in that you heard Joyce say. I knew that he tried to live a righteous life. Righteousness is one of the qualities and characteristics when we get to the letter R. Very, very important in that regard. So now we're going to come to you, Brother Henry. Of course, your wife gave a lot of information in your marriage narrative, and she began to start to see something different, and she also, you know, in saying how you was relating the Quran to her. Obviously, this was a help. She wasn't really all that familiar with the Quran, but she was relating it to her. And then she began to start to see some things in you in terms of what type of man she really needed in her life too. And so she was praying for the right man to come into her life, and she was allowing God to guide her. So in the courtship phase, Henry, to your recollection, as you communicated more with your wife-to-be, what was it that she was able to uncover, discover in terms of qualities and characteristics that made her even more attractive to you than when you first laid your eyes on her? The chemistry, actually, the mutual, strong mutual attraction that oftentimes happens before you actually really get to know the person. But in this courtship, and she said it was only approximately 3 months, very short. But what was it that Allah blessed you to be able to see quality characteristic in her that made her even more of attraction? Can you share with us, Brother Henry?
Yes. First of all, I have prayed a lot and long that Allah bless me with one. Say, Allah, that you know what I need. More than what I know that I need.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, please don't let me make the mistake that people, you know, make there. So when I saw her, matter of fact, we could have got married the same day that I said I'm going to marry that woman there, as far as I was concerned.
Well, you know that now.
Yeah, right. Now, And I know, hey, the way society look at things and that put in us there is that you got a lot to fight against. You know, people, you know, you want somebody tall or want somebody like that. Well, that wasn't the first thing that was getting me for. It was really the spirit and the heart there. And when I saw that, you know, I went at it 100%. And
okay.
Matter of fact, I tell Joyce sometimes, I say, you think you had a choice. You didn't even have a choice in this. I say, Allah chose you for me, and you didn't have a choice. You think you chose me, but I chose you for me.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. No, go ahead. Any qualities or characteristics you can share with us in pretty brief, I would say, courtship, but anything in your communication to your recollection that as you began to talk to your wife-to-be, that you began to notice some qualities and characteristics in getting to know her that was attractive, it made her even more attractive to you. And by the way, let me say to a radio listening audience, here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, we often hear sometimes love at first sight. You can't have love at first sight. You can have attractiveness at first sight. That if you think about it, just let that marinate. You can have attractiveness at first sight. But love is a natural thing, but it has an evolutionary process that comes along with it. And there have to be qualities and characteristics in the chemistry that actually put the two together. And we know that the sacred institution of marriage is the womb for love. And Allah gives it to us in the Quran that He is the source. He is the source of love. So this is very important for us to know and approach it from an Islamic perspective, not from a Western society. Yeah, it was love at first sight. No, it was attractiveness at first sight. And then you have to like some things. You hear people say, I love you, you know, but you don't like the person. You know, that's a natural evolution. So, Brother Henry, in that short courtship, anything?
You summed it up real good, and I always consider our marriage a very unique marriage because I had put strong faith and still put strong faith in Allah, and that's the reason I told her that you didn't have a choice. Allah had chose you, and so you didn't make a choice, but Allah had chose you for me. And that was where my foot did, and then everything I began to see confirmed that, you know, because you're looking for your confirmation that you're right. There, I was looking for someone who would care for my children. As you say, we was taking the children around to see. So those are things that you would notice. So she had the right qualities of a mother that I needed for my children. Everything else was just confirming what I believe in that. And the more I saw, the more I wanted her. So we made up our mind, okay, I would like to marry you.
So did you? So then, you actually proposed to her in terms of marrying and all. Maybe say after 3 months. And what year are we talking about here, Henry? To your recollection,
we had made the commitment probably within those 3 months. Was gonna put out. You know how the woman, they always gonna choose the date, right? The man get down on his knees and all of that. And I didn't do any of that, Mark, because I wasn't the Western.
Okay. Well, how did you propose to Henry? Just common, nothing unique about your proposal.
Well,
right?
we were sitting on her couch in the living room there. And I asked her to marry me, if I remember right, and she said yes, which I was a little bit shocked of because I thought I was going to have a fight, tie her up and kidnap her or something. But she said yes, and boy, that was the thrill of my life.
That was the thrill of your life. Okay, I'm going to go back to Joyce one more time, and then radio listeners, we're going to come to you. All right, Joyce, so he finally... I won't say get the courage up to ask you to marry him because I think that he had already given enough hints and signs or what in terms of that he's looking for a wife. And obviously I think at that point you knew that you were the one. So perhaps in your mind you were just waiting to see when is he going to propose, when is he going to ask me. So when he asked you, Joyce, what came to your mind? No hesitation, no reservation at that point.
Well, the question that came to my mind was that, because I was Christian, that was one of the things that was on my mind. I said, I thought, Muslims couldn't marry. They're told anyone other than a Muslim. So, because I'm Christian, so he had showed me in the Quran where it says believers. You know, anybody who believes in
yes.
God is a believer. So that's how I was convinced that, you know, that, you know, the marriage was going to be right for us and right for them.
Be right.
I didn't want it to, anything to transpire or happen, you know, with the other Muslims of the community there, because I didn't know how they would feel about the situation.
Yeah. I know this question is going to come up, Joyce. I know the question is going to come up, so let me ask it now in regards to that, because over the years we had a lot of conversation in terms of who it is that you can marry, and one of the things is that our community overall are not able and don't read the Quran in the Quranic Arabia and haven't heard of the word mushrik. It's the same for men as it is for women. And over the years, I've heard, you know, believers speak not knowing and saying that men, they're allowed to marry, you know, Christians or others than in the faith of Islam. But as a woman, if it was vice versa, she only can marry a Muslim man. That's not true. And I know I'm bursting some people's bubble, but that's not what God says. You see, in that regard. So we're not going to get into that tonight. We're just not going to get into that tonight. That's another courtship and marriage topic that we'll see down the road, where we can go to the Quran and bring out that information, what God says. But my question to you is, and this is going to be the last question, then we go into the lines here to see what the callers have on their mind. Because that was a concern, a very valid and legitimate concern, you were still a Christian at that point. The question had to be, when and you were going to the masjid by the invitation, sister, friends, and all, when did it hit you? I really want to learn the religion because I really like something about the religion. I want to learn more about him, he being a practicing Muslim, and not what I have heard before in the past. I want to follow. I want to follow my husband in what his religion is. Or in the case of a brother that's interested in a Muslima, that you got to take the Shahada Tang in that regard, because there's no coercion in this way of life. When did it hit you? And then how long was it before you actually, Allah bless you, to come to the conclusion to be able to say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadan Rasulullah, on your own free accord? Please answer that question, and then we're going to open the lines up. Joyce?
Yes, I started officially dating. I started reading the Quran. I gave the Quran, and I started reading the Quran, and what I had noticed that it was like it agreed so much more with my nature, and I could understand. Just so amazed, and because reading the Bible, I always found it a little difficult to understand, and what I in some of the when I'd attend some of the little meetings that the missionaries would have, and we have a little topic to discuss, and the topic I would be compared the plant life to human life, and it looked like it was their head, and they were just like not understanding anything I was saying, and I was. You know, what I was comparing was saying just what was in the Quran, which they couldn't seem to grasp that. So that is when I realized that, you know, Islam was for me, but it didn't come easy. It was a struggle because
okay.
there was tension between the pastor, and because I was marrying a Muslim, because, you know, the thing, we had decided that we would have two ceremonies, like my pastor would do the ceremony and then have a Muslim imam do the ceremony, but that's the way it's supposed to have been. But at the ceremony, it was so much conflict and confusion that my pastor said that if he did the ceremony, his name was going on the marriage certificate. And it got to the point where it was taking so long, they were at me in tears and everything, and the sisters were trying to calm me. So the imam there said that he would just allow him to go ahead on and marry us, and he would back down. So it was like he didn't like the fact that I was marrying a Muslim brother. And so eventually, we had decided, Henry and I had decided that, you know, I would attend the masjid, bring children. I'd go to the masjid for the different services. And then he would go with me to the services, on Sunday services at the church. But anyway, my preacher was, he would use that as an opportunity to talk down. He would belittle my husband and everything, and I saw that. And so what happened was, I'm saying, I had put the pastor on a pedestal like many of the Christians do. We put man on a pedestal to make them God, and God brought him. Something had happened, and he brought him down, and it tore me up inside. It was so devastating to me that that I felt like I could no longer go to that church. But anyway, what sealed the, well, put the icing on the cake for me was, and in my dream, Prophet Muhammad was knocking at my door, and I opened it. And I realized it was him. And then all I could do was just prostrate myself. And I had read in those that say, seeing the prophet in a dream have seen the prophet, because Satan can't imitate. He can imitate anybody else except God's messenger, prophet. And so they said if he had seen the prophet, then I had actually seen the prophet. And that's when I accepted Islam. And all I can say is alhamdulillah, and I'm so thankful. I have regretted not one bit of it, and I'm thankful.
Alhamdulillah. George, you know, you got tears in my eyes here. Boy, I tell you, oh, what a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful story. Boy, a beautiful way to end that. Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah. Very heartfelt on my part, and I'm quite sure our radio listening audience there, IWDM Radio, this is your time now to ask questions or make comments. What a beautiful story and what a beautiful ending that Joyce just gave us in terms of her dream and seeing the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah is so, so very, very merciful, so very, very merciful, because he knew that she was torn. And as she explained, how many Christians actually see, you know, the pastor, the minister, and all of this here. But this is another thing to know and understand, how she stood up for her man in that regard. She wasn't allowing anybody to belittle him, to denigrate him, and all of that. That's something that you just don't do. It tore her apart. After she actually looked up to him, she no longer could do that. And Allah revealed that to her in the dream. So she knew then she could be free and liberated from those type of feelings. All right, my dear sister, the priest Abdul Hadi, let's go. We have hands in the air. If you have a question or comment, you have to press 1. The priest Hadi will let me know that you got your hand in the air. You want to ask a question or make a comment. Want to keep it a minute and a half to 2 minutes for your question. Or if you have a comment, we're going to ask them to be as succinct as we possibly can. We have about two qualities and characteristics of the true love recipe, we'd like to get some insight. Those of you who listen in to IWDM radio by way of the internet, you do have to call in. Once again, that number to call in to the studio is 714-816-4673, 714-816-4673. You call in and you press 1, and the priest Abdul Hadi will let me know you have your hands in the air. Let's go, Depresa. Who do we have up first that want to ask a question, a comment to our very distinguished, honored guest couple here? Depresa?
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. We had a lot of them. They kind of backed out, but I think they're going to come back, inshallah. But right now we do have two confirmed hands up, and we'll start with 773-840. Welcome to Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. 773-840.
Take yourself off of mute if you're on mute so you can come and ask your question or make a comment. And those of you who had your hands up, I just ask you to be patient because I think that what you heard at the very, very end, especially from Joyce, it was worth the while in terms of actually just being patient and just listening to their marriage narrative. So please, come back and press 1. Let's come back to them. We got to keep it moving. Just put them on hold, mute them out, and you come back. They may have stepped away or inadvertently press 1. Let's go to the next caller, if you would, the priest.
719-238. Welcome to Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Mario L. Dawson. I'm calling to say hello to my dear Aunt Juicy and my wonderful Uncle Henry.
Yes, we can hear you very well. You're coming in very clear. Say your name again, once again.
It's Mario L. Dawson. I'm calling from Colorado Springs.
Okay.
And I just want to send a special shout out to my wonderful Uncle Henry and my wonderful Aunt Juicy. I want to tell you that these are some wonderful people. They're great people. And I love them to death. And their story is very heartwarming.
Yes.
And when my mom passed, my Aunt Juicy, we kind of felt a little separation there, But my Aunt Juicy, she always calls, she always texts, and she's the type to gather the family, I just want to say thank you for that, and I love you. I love you, Aunt Juicy. And I love you, Uncle Henry. I wish you many more years together. And I can't wait to see y'all. That's all I got to say.
Well, Brother Mario, thank you so much for listening in and tuning in. And we don't want you to be no stranger, Mario. You can always tune in and listen to IWDM Radio. This is for all of humanity. You don't have to be a Muslim to tune in and listen in. A lot of great information, and I agree wholeheartedly with you. Their marriage narrative is very heartwarming. It just warms your heart and to hear this. And this is what is all, this is the objective, to put people in tune to what it is that God wants for us and that all of us can, and we should have that, and we should have a desire. Never lose the fire of desire to want to have that. And the power of prayer. I mean, there's so many things I could say in regards to that. Thank you so much, Mario, for listening in, and even more so for pressing 1 and calling in. And so we hope that others are going to follow you in terms of pressing 1, call in, and express something to the couple, or even ask the question. All of that is welcome here, and you're welcome all the time. Press 1, Mario, after you are mute. And that way it keeps the board clear. And if you have something else that you might want to say, all you have to do is press 1. Thank you so much, Mario, for tuning in. All right, Depresa Hadi, any other hands in the air? So those some of you all that had your hands up, Yes. Please don't be upset. Come back and ask your question, make a comment. Other than that, I have to move on. Okay, the priest of Hadi, any other hands in the air? Or perhaps you might want to have something to say to the priest of Hadi. I know you do. I can feel the vibes all the way here in St. Louis.
I do. But we'll get to the callers. We have a new one just called in. So we have right now, we have 706-627. Welcome to Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Assalamu alaikum. State your name and where you're calling from.
I think I know who this is.
Yeah, I was going to say, Brother Muhammad.
Alaykum as-salam. Stay who you are, where you're calling from, and make sure we're going to keep it to our couple. We want to keep it to our couple. You heard the marriage narrative. It has to be on that in regards to them. That's what the topic is. No other, nothing else, but just that in terms of the couple. We want questions or just comments in regards to what they have given to us tonight here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Go right ahead, Brother Muhammad.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad, by the way, of Columbus, Georgia. I thought you might want to know, a lot of people didn't come call in because they were under the impression that Imam Bashir Ali would be on tonight, just advertised.
Well, they got
on
the misinformation. Imam Bashir, the national convener of Imams, that was last night on Wednesday. Let me just say this to those that might be tuned in for that. That's why, sometimes it pays to be patient. I'm not speaking to you because you always are a listener. Brother Muhammad, I can tell the sincerity in him. Almost every production, even outside of IWDM Radio, Brother Muhammad finds out. He listens very well, and he finds out when these programs actually are. He calls in, he participates. But at the end of every production here on IWDM Radio, I give a thorough rundown of all the productions. So the MGM Roundtable, that's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, where I invite very distinguished, esteemed guests inside the community of Imam Muhammad. I have guests sometimes that's outside of the community of Imam Muhammad, and I always have topics that are pertinent to us as a community. That follows the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab each and every Wednesday. The Learning Lab starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. It is for 1 hour. After that, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable starts at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And our national convener was on last night, and he gave an excellent overview of what took place in the historic leadership conference there in Orlando, Florida. So what I'm saying to all of our listeners, please just listen. Listen up. So that when we don't get the confusion, just be patient and listen. It's power in listening. When you listen, you don't miss anything. You know, just divert your attention to what is being said here and any other platform as far as that go, so that you don't miss things. But we will have two of his students back, inshallah, the convener of imams and myself. We're working on that, and they're going to have a graduation for the two-year pilot program to take place in the new home of the Muslim Journal, Newark, New Jersey, inshallah, in the month of November. Please stay tuned to IWDM Radio. I'm looking to have all eight of the graduates on and interview them and all. And, of course, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, he has an open invitation here, and I often invite him to keep the community apprised of the development in the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad. That's all I'm going to say in regards to that, but please listen up. Thank you so much, Brother Muhammad, for just calling in and bringing that to my attention. But we give thorough information here. All we have to do is just listen. And if we can't remember, use your notebook and pen and write it down. So know that the MGM Roundtable that takes place every Wednesday, not Thursday, Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, on IWDM Radio is on Thursday. So you can go back into the archives, and you can also go back into the archives. So you can retrieve all these productions. They're in the archives. Just type in you know, IWDM radio, and that was yesterday. So what was yesterday's date? Whatever yesterday's date was, you just type in MGM Roundtable, and it will take you to the interview. So you'll be able to hear the whole the interview in its entirety. Okay? Thank you, Brother Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Alhamdulillah. All right, the preacher, let's roll. Press 1, Brother Muhammad, to go out to complete the process so we can keep the studio clear. Anybody else with their hands raised, the preacher Hadi, talk to me.
Yes, sir. We have 267-515. Welcome.
Okay.
And state your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, thank you. This is Iman Wali Ayu Bilal, the Halal Industry from Philadelphia.
Assalamu alaikum, your brother. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. It's an honor to hear your voice. You have a question or comment for our very distinguished, esteemed, honored couple just celebrating their 44th wedding anniversary?
Yes, yes. They did something by Allah's permission that many Muslims forget to do. You know, with this life we're living, coming from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Imam W.D. Muhammad,
mm-hmm.
many of us are questioning, how did we get Islam? We got it the same way Muhammad the Prophet got it, from Allah, delivered to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad by the method he wanted him to get it. And we followed it, and we are practicing Islam, and we don't need second guesses. And what I mean by that is this couple, especially the sister, I mean, I know the brother must be pleased, but especially the sister, she looked in the Quran and seen that she was doing what's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? In other words,
yes.
Will it work? She went to who? What God says in the Quran.
Yes,
and when she
yes.
said, she nobody else's conversation meant nothing. You know what I mean? And it was nice of the imam to show his intelligence, to say, well, if the reverend preacher is not yet qualified to appreciate what the family is doing, then I'll yield and let him go ahead and handle it.
Mm.
Allah says, when the victory comes, stay humble, stay in prayer, and don't do to them what they did to you. So to make this sister and brother did what the Quran helped them to see, and may Allah
mm-hmm.
bless them, have long life together, and enjoy each other, and be a model and an example for other people who want to get married. So I was pleased to hear it, my brother. Yes,
Alhamdulillah, thank you, and I'm pleased to hear you. And I also want to just say to you, please continue to tune in to IWDM Radio, and you're so on point because everything you gave, I mean, not that you need any validation from me, but that is the Quran.
That's the Quran.
That is the Quran, and that's supposed to be guidance. That's supposed to be the guidance for us. So thank you so much, brother, you know, for saying that and being very astute in seeing
yes.
that, because it was the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, when they had left Mecca and wanted to come back, to be able to make the Hajj, and wanted to have wanted to sign a treaty with those that didn't want them to come back, and
yeah.
his name was Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the Rasul of Allah, the Messenger of Allah. They objected to
yeah.
that and didn't want to recognize that,
that's
and
right.
they wanted to strike it out, and the Prophet Muhammad told them, go ahead and strike it out. Oh, that upset the Sahabas. Oh, they
yeah.
was ready. They was getting mad. But the Prophet
that's
calmed
right.
them down. And his yeah. wisdom, he knew that he was God's messenger.
That's right.
The Sahabas knew that he was God's messenger.
That's
and
right.
the Prophet knew that in time they would recognize him as God's messenger. And as we know the ending, they did. So
yeah.
this and this is the same thing our leader, Imam Worthy Muhammad, when there was objections to him being called the Mujaddid, Bab said, okay, strike that out.
That's
but
right.
now, you understand, we,
yeah.
well, I want to get into it, but you know that we know He was the Mujaddid. And so there should be no hesitation and reservation on our part now. But wise men, that's what they do. And you're very astute, my brother, because the Imam was very, very wise that he knew the most important thing, that they actually respect the sacred institution of marriage. She was torn in that regard. And so rather than see her have to go through all that torment and everything, he yielded. And that's wisdom. And what happened as a result of that 44 years of marriage. Thank you so much, brother. You're right on point. I appreciate you. Please continue to listen to IWDM Radio, Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. You're always welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, thank you all, and continue to do the good work. Ameen. Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. Press 1, my dear brother, as you go out the queue. Come on, Depriza Hadi. Is there any more with their hands in the air?
We have, yes, sir, we do. We have 810-339. Welcome, and state your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Abdullah. I'm calling from Flint, Michigan.
Alaikum assalam, my brother Abdullah from Flint, Michigan. Yes, sir, you got a question, a comment for our honored couple. Get a chance to hear their marriage narrative. What would you like to say or ask?
Yes, sir. I was a little late joining the show, but I was wondering what was the mahar or dowry that he gave her when they got together and decided to get married. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, they're right here. All right. Which one you want to answer, Brother Henry? The mahar. And let me make this correction. This is a learning lab, so I always got to intervene. I know some of y'all, you know, might not want me to say a whole lot, but I have to, because Allah has blessed me with the information and the knowledge in terms of that I have to share. So it's correct in terms of mahar. Dowry is something totally different. And even in that, even in the Muslim world, they have misconstrued the concept of that. They actually have some people in the Muslim world, even across the water, and have influenced some here in terms of a dowry being for the family. No, it's not dowry, it's mahar. But it has great significance. And we're going to do a production on that to make that distinction, but it is actually not for the family. It is for the bride-to-be. That's all I'm going to say now. But if you just get that and not say that you're actually, in terms of the family, actually giving a price for it to be paid to the family, it's not to go to the family. You won't find that in the Quran. Okay, so Brother Henry, you want to answer that question in terms of Amar?
I will answer that, Brother Mark.
Okay, you go ahead, Joyce. Okay.
Yes, he had mentioned about a dowry and all, but people didn't realize that he had 3 children. I had 2. We weren't rich. We weren't so had a lot of money where, you know, and I know he didn't have a lot of money where he could afford to even give me a dowry, but I accepted my wedding ring. So that's what I did.
Yes, ma'am.
I accepted
it. Let me say this here, Joyce, that this is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful narrative that you gave. I mean, you and Brother Henry in that regard, and the balance that's there. But look what Allah has blessed you two with, and just from the time that I've been knowing you two, Allah has blessed you all to be able to travel across the country, almost out of the country, and to do things and have a wonderful life together.
Mm-hmm.
And I could say a whole lot of things in regards to the demanding of this. But I will say this from the Quran, just to help, since the brother brought up tomorrow. And Allah says in the Quran, let the one that has of little means spend out of that of what he has in terms of little means. And let the one that has more means spend out of that which in which he has. Because Allah is not trying to hurt. He's merciful in that regard. Man of means spend according to their means. Do you know that your zakat is based on your means?
Mm-hmm.
See, this is why we have to read the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we you know, sometimes, you know, not all, but some share in terms of what they got. And so, therefore, sometimes sisters that don't really have that much in terms of understanding feel like they should get that. I saw here in St. Louis a potential marriage could have been that wasn't because the brother could not afford what was being asked for.
Mm-hmm.
You see? But if you use the Quran, the Quran is guidance for us. It's guidance. And Allah is just and he's merciful.
That's
so
right.
Sometimes we may think in terms of an entitlement to get what sister so-and-so got or whatever, but it's a different situation and circumstances. But look what Allah blessed them with afterwards, 44 years later. And she can attest to the fact she have had a good husband in many places and doing things and whatever that many didn't make that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they put more emphasis in terms of what it was that they wanted, not weighing their situation and circumstances. Allah does that in the Quran. We can take you to the Quran in terms of proof of that. So thank you, brother, for asking the question, and thank you, Joyce, for answering it like that, because every situation and circumstance is different.
Yes,
the zakat, your zakat won't look like my zakat. You don't have the means that I have. I don't have the means that you have. So Allah is just, and he's merciful all the time.
Yes.
And as the prophet has said, all actions, are judged by your niyyah. Your niyyah is your intention, your pure intention, and Allah knows your heart.
Yes,
so we can't deceive Allah. Thank you so much, my dear brother, for asking that question. That you got your answer. She accepted
yes,
that
sir.
Wedding ring. You know, that
yes,
was her mahar. She was pleased and satisfied with that. And as a result of that, Allah blessed her with a good man, a good husband for 44 years, still going strong. How about that?
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you so much,
Abdullah,
calling in.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Yes. Oh, yes, sir. I was just going to say, may Allah bless the sister and the brother and all their righteous endeavors. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, thank you, brother Abdullah. I'm glad they're bringing these questions up. Because, I mean, this is a learning lab. This is where you come to learn. Because a lot of us, to be honest, we just don't read the Quran. We do speed read during the month of Ramadan. We read right over what God is saying. So if you understand the Quran, it's difficult to apply it. It's difficult, you know, because you get stuck on one thing and think that's got to be that way. No, Allah is just and he is merciful. And that's in the true love recipe. All right, the priest, press 1, Abdullah, as you're out. All right, the priest of Hadi, is there any?
I have a comment, but I'm going to go back to 773 and see if they're back. 773-840.
Okay.
Welcome and state your name and where you're calling from. 773-840.
But maybe they inadvertently hit it, and if you did, and you're listening, just say, you know, that you inadvertently hit it or what, or, you know, sometimes people tune in and listen, and they multitask. How now they do it. They multitask and walk away from the phone. So, and you may be on mute. That may be the other thing. So if you are hearing 773, that's a Chicago number, 840. You may be on mute, so you have to unmute yourself on your phone so you can be heard. 773-840, going once, going twice, three times. Okay, so we gave the opportunity to get a response, and obviously they're not there or they changed their mind. Okay, so mute that, if you would, DePriza. And DePriza, I want to give you an opportunity. I know you got some. I can feel the vibes.
You know you're feeling them too. Sister Joyce, first of all, Brother Henry and Sister Joyce, alhamdulillah, congratulations to you all. Sister Joyce, girlfriend, look at here. I'm giving you the high fives because being a Christian woman, you were able to pick up on this. You had it in your own heart and in your own mind. You saw this good man here. You like, I am not going to let religion stand between us. I'm going to make the prayer about this. And when you found out the right way to go, what did you do? You jump right in there. You jump right in there. It will work for them. Look at this. Beautiful. Beautiful. So you got this. Now, Brother Henry, don't go getting all jealous and stuff. Sister Joyce, girlfriend, come on, give it to me. Ouch. Yes, yes. Now, Brother Henry, you know you got some of it, too. I'm sorry. Okay. I really appreciate you all so much.
The thing we have done is supported each other. In this. So when you say Joyce, I told you how they refer to me. Joyce's husband.
Joyce's husband. Hey, that don't bother you, does it, Brother Henry?
That bothers me. But I know what they be doing because we got a lot of friends and things out there. They're telling, hands off this man. He's Joyce's husband. So
I know that's right.
That's right. Yeah, but you know what, this is such a, you know, this, you two, just, you know, I have to echo the sentiments of those who have called in, you know, how much I really admire you, respect you, and appreciate value your marriage. And just even in you two making a decision to come on to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Because this is Allah's sacred institution. So what are you saying, Mark Shaheed? No, this is Allah's sacred institution. Can you show that in the Quran? Yes. And it's in Surah Al-Furqan, the 25th surah of the Quran, and the 54th verse. Allah says, it is He who created you from water, and then He established the relationship of lineage, that's family life first, and marriage, which is supposed to be the continuation of family life. And then know that Allah has power or influence over all things. So Allah has put, He's saying, I've already influenced you. This is just like Brother Henry was saying to his wife-to-be at that time, you didn't have a choice. Allah had already chosen you for me, you know. So Allah has already influenced us in our very fitra, our original nature. And when you have a good heart and have pure intentions to really want to do what is right, Allah will bless that. He will bless that pure heart with what it is that He know that you need. And when you let go, and they say, when you let go and let God, that's the best thing. Because oftentimes we pray for what we want. The Istikhara prayer is a prayer that is advised that believers should pray in making major decisions in their life. And in the Istikhara prayer, it highlights that Allah is the best knower. It says that, oh Allah, you know and I know not. So when it is that we can actually say that with a sincere heart and bless me for what I need and keep me away from what I don't need, all this is in the Istikhara prayer. It's a powerful prayer. You know, everything is You can go to the computer, this age of technology, and just read it. I guarantee you, it will actually have a powerful impact in your life because it's acknowledging that Allahu Alam, that he is the best knower. And you want to allow Allah to guide you. And you want to make Allah a managing partner in your life and making Allah a managing partner in the relationship. That's part of the glue. So very, very important. So may Allah bless you with many, many more years. And your marriage narrative amongst many that we've had in the last 4 months, very, very heartwarming, very touching to me when Joyce said that brought tears to my eyes because Allah knew her heart. She was struggling with that. She said it wasn't easy. She just being just totally honest, a woman of integrity. It wasn't easy, but Allah made it easy because Allah can come to us in different ways and even in putting it in a dream. And it hurt her to have to look down at her pastor, the one that she looked up to. But she know Allah had blessed her with a good man. And she wasn't going to allow him to denigrate. But that is just what it was, the prelude before we came on in talking about the role of responsibility to the woman. And Allah says, and she is the guard in his absence. There probably was other people talking too. But it wasn't even in his absence. She was hearing it. And it wasn't covert. It was overt. Very, very important. So I know I don't want the priesthood to get me. So I know she laughing. Can I do just one quality, the priesthood? Would you be okay with that? Just one quality to get an insight from there?
What you got to do. I just want to tell the company.
So I'm going to do this here. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do this here because I do want them to share a little insight and wisdom. You know, as we've been having these outstanding couples, longevity in marriage and everything, given their marriage narrative, they have actually hopefully have been a motivation, an inspiration to us. And helping us to change our mindset and disposition in regard to the sacred institution of marriage because we've heard different scenarios for the last 4+ months. And the true love recipe, it's my own true love recipe, so which means, you know, when you have a recipe, you can have whatever qualities or characteristics you want to have in it. But I always like to ask my guests, what certain qualities that I have in mind, would it be in theirs? So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to do two quick ones, the priest. I'm just going to do two quick ones. And we was on last week, and I did give some commentary on 04. In terms of would optimism be in the true love recipe, and also observance. So the two I didn't get to, these are the two I want to ask our distinguished couple tonight. And that is open-minded. And with this, I'm going to go to you first, Brother Henry. If somebody came to you and said, Henry Hasib, I want to know what the letter O in the English alphabet, a quality and characteristic that you feel is essential, and that quality would be being open-minded, would that be in your true love recipe as it is in mine? And if so, why? And if it wasn't, could it truly be a true love recipe without being open-minded? I'm going to give you a minute and a half, just a minute and a half to 2 minutes. You don't have to take all of it, but now this time when you hear me ring the bell, that's going to be your time is up. So you got to answer that And then I'm going to give that same quality and characteristic to your wife, Joyce, in terms of open mind. Would that be in your true love recipe? You got a minute and a half to 2 minutes to answer that question. Brother Henry?
I think very much so, Mark. And it's a growing. It's something you grow into, because when you come into a relationship, and they call it baggage out here in the society,
okay.
You bring your baggage and she bring her baggage. And I don't really refer to it, but that's the way they refer to it out here. She had friends before she met me, and I had friends before we met her. And she had male friends, and she have female friends, and I have male friends, and I have female friends. So without that open-mindedness and that trust, because there are people out here, sometimes they say they mean good, but they do bad things. But because we had that trust for each other, then when people told us, I heard your husband, he was in the car riding with another woman, and it wasn't a lie. It was one of my other agents. So she already knew. She already knew. So they couldn't, it wasn't a weak spot that they were. And so she would take up for them. And, of course, when you put people in their place like that and let them know that, hey, that won't work here, they stop coming to you. And, of course, you know, even in the mail, they're going to ask you, well, how do you know what she ain't with you? How do you know? Because I trust.
So you're going to stop right there, Brother Henry. But I also was ringing the bell, too, because you did touch up on one of the essential qualities. Once again, in the true love recipe, we haven't gotten to the letter T, but trust is a must. Otherwise, the relationship can and will be a bust. That is the glue. Just think, one person don't trust or both persons don't trust each other, you can't have a true love recipe. It can't be the true love recipe. You can't have true love without trust. And your wife already know the nature of the work that you do. She's informed. She ain't in the dark. So here come the whisperer. She ain't hearing that. You see? So that's very, very important. So you're actually saying in terms of open-minded, it would be your true love recipe. All right, Sister Joyce, I see you got a minute and a half to 2 minutes to answer this question. Would open-mindedness be in your true love recipe? And if so, why? And if not, would it really be true love without having being open-minded? Got 1.5 to 2 minutes. Joyce, your response.
I'm going to have to yield because Henry said it all.
He said, okay. So you're just saying, so in other words, you're saying ditto to what your husband has said. You agree wholeheartedly.
Yes.
It would be in your true love recipe, correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Well, this is going to speed it up. We got the last one. I'd like to have fun with the last one in the true love recipe, which is open-hearted. Now, with this, you have to let me know. This is in my true love recipe. It don't have to necessarily be in yours. I'm going to ask you if it is, then why, and if not, could it really be true love? In addition, since this is the last one, I'm going to ask you, would it be a teaspoon of open-heartedness? Would it be a tablespoon? Would it be a half a cup or a full cup of open-heartedness? I'm going to start with you this time, Joyce. So you're going to have to answer from your perspective, and then I'm going to go to your husband. So you got a minute and a half, 2 minutes. You don't have to use all that time. But would it be in your true love recipe, and why, in terms of being open-hearted? And
yes,
if so, Would it be a teaspoon, tablespoon, half a cup, or full cup? Joyce, talk to us.
Yes, it would be open-heartedness would be a recipe, and it would be a full cup. I mean, I've always been, I guess, kind-hearted and sensitive to other people's needs and wants. It saddens me and hurts me when I see homeless people or someone on the street and needing help. And sometimes I'm told I may be overdoing it, but I feel that, you know, you give them what you can and what they do, it's on them. You know, you leave it up to God to judge whether they receive or what they ask for, or did they get it to do something else with it. Older days, I need to curtail that, but I just can't. That's just part of me. I don't like seeing people in need, and I try to help as much as I can, and that's always been a part of me.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Alhamdulillah. So it would be a full cup of open-heartedness, and that would be in your true love recipe. So, Brother Henry, you just heard your wife. Now, I don't mean you have to go down that road or you...
Well,
what? So would it be your recipe, Henry? And if so, why? And if it wasn't, would it really be true love? And Brother Henry, would it be a teaspoon, a tablespoon, a half a cup, or a full cup of open, being open-hearted? You got a minute and a half to 2 minutes now.
I would have to say yes, it's definitely in the recipe. And again, I would say it's a full cup. Now, I'm one of the ones that when I see her giving all this money, because I'm thinking how broke I am at the time, I say, you giving all of that. So sometimes, but the funny thing about it, Mark, I turn around and do the same thing. So I probably shouldn't be saying what I'm saying because, you know, my heart go out. And but Allah has never caused me to suffer because of it. And she sometimes, she look in her a thing and whatever she got, sometimes she take it all. It may be maybe real good money there that it may take you a few days to make, you know.
Yes,
to him, and the thing I guess what I can't handle, she give it to me to give it to him, and I'm saying I want to take some of this back. But then when I look at how I do things, why I do things, because I always tell them, I said don't even ask me why I'm doing it, because I don't have no idea why I'm doing it, but I do it, and that act just took place. Matter of fact, yesterday. That and God knows when it comes down to rationalizing it, I could definitely say, oh, I needed it there and I got plenty of use for it. But that's when I start wanting to do that, I make sure I give it away faster, because when I do, and every time I do, Allah bless me with some more. So, and I know the Christian philosophy in that and how they do it and how sometimes it's over-exaggerated, but I can bear witness.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Brother Henry. You see, that's why there is some compatibility. Both of y'all open-hearted and everything. And then also it goes beyond a shadow of a doubt to say that this is actually in the true love recipe that has developed for 44 years that you all have for each other. I want to thank both of you, Henry and Joyce Hasib, for first and foremost accepting my invitation. I made dua when I asked, and your wife was right there. I'm not a pressure person, and say just take a couple of days and think about it. Get back with me ASAP. And when you know it, Allah is my witness. Just before I was getting ready to call Brother Henry just to find out what is your decision. This was on a Monday of this week. Allah is my witness. He called me I was just ready to call him. He called me, and he told me that, yes, me and my wife have accepted your invitation. I have truly, truly enjoyed your marriage narrative. It was so substantive. It was very heartfelt, and it was inspirational and motivational. I got a lot out of it. I think our radio listening audience, they got a lot out of it and everything. And I really, really appreciate both of you accepting that, and I really enjoyed it. And I hope that both of you all enjoy coming on and giving your marriage narrative and taking you back down memory lane for the 44 years that Almighty God, Allah, has blessed you with, because everybody can't say that. They can't say that. They can only think about it, wish they had a hoped and all, but to actually have experienced it, this should hopefully give hope to maybe some that's on the fence and everything, and be an inspiration and motivation to them to continue to pray to Allah for that mate that you can spend the rest of your life with. Thank you so much, and may Allah continue to bless you. And you know, you always have an open invitation right here on IWDM Radio and everything, and many, many more years, 44 more years or plus, whatever it is that Allah's will is, I mean. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you, Brother Mark.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. So there you have it. This ends the night's broadcasting here on IWDM Radio, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Want to just say quickly, the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio. As tomorrow is Friday, you know what that is. That is Salatu Jumu'ah Day, Muslim worldwide. Those who are on radio each and every Friday with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir. It begins here each and every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. And now Saturday's field now is 7 days a week. Once again, the very distinguished Imam Mikhail Sahir, he has a new production called the Muslim Book Club. Yes, that's right. You heard it right. It's the Muslim Book Club. It happens each and every Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's high noon Central, 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. You might ask, well, what book are you reading? It's a two-book volume of the Honorable First Lady and Mother of our community. Who would that be? The Honorable First Lady and Mother of our community, Sister Clara Evans Muhammad, the Mother of our Nation. That's the name of the book. This is one of these books that once you pick it up and you begin to start reading about Sister Clara Evans Muhammad, you won't be able to put it down. It happens each and every Saturday where there's reading. There's a lot of pictorial in there where descriptions are given, and you'll get opportunity to know how you can order the book and the reading. And then after that, there's commentary, engagement, the radio listening audience. So please tune in each and every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, high noon Central, 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. The longest-running production on IWDM Radio is Words Make People. Sounds familiar? It should be. And it's with the very distinguished Imam Mikhail Sahir. He hosts this production is every Sunday afternoon. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio, the beginning of the week. My good brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha, he hosts a production called ABC, like 1, 2, 3, but it is Al-Islam-based conversation. You know, you don't want to miss that, because all the various topics that he actually engages in is Al-Islam-based conversation. So, you know, conversation, you need multiple people to participate. It happens here each and every Monday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 5 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Tuesday, the very distinguished Rashid Salam. He is our engineer extraordinaire through the week, but he has his own outstanding production along with his honored returning guest, instructor Abdul Shaheed. And that name of that production is The Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. Yes, it's a learning lab, too, where they teach the science of your health and you how to stay healthy and the science of your of who you are, how Lord created you. You need your pen and pad. It happens each and every Tuesday starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central, and it's 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Wednesday is the Sister Learning Lab to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. That's where some people got confused. But it's Wednesday. It's the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with the very distinguished esteemed Dr. Patricia Slaudine out of Miami, Florida. She teams with yours truly, Mark Shaheed, for the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, where we teach what is correct parenting from an Islamic base and how to reconstruct the destructive family life. Oh, that should really have a, you should really have an interest in that, because if we're ever going to remake the world, it has to start in the first social institution that God has given to us, which is the family life. That happens each and every Wednesday starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. And following the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is the MGM Roundtable. That stands for the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. It's hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed, as I like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests inside the community of Imam Muhammad, outside the community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. Each and every Wednesday, it happens after the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. It starts at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's 7 p.m. Central and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Also, in terms of our sister station, engineer extraordinaire, he's done an excellent job in stepping in behind Rashid Salam, the priest Abdul Hadi. She's one of the very distinguished, esteemed hosts of our sister station, AM 360. That's American Muslim 360 Radio. She hosts an outstanding production called Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab. Just listening to the name of that, that should really pique your interest, Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab. It was designed for new shahadas, but to borrow her language, it's also beneficial to season shahadas, meaning that if you've been around 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50 plus years, you can learn something in this learning lab. I do bear witness, because every opportunity I get, I'm tuned in, and she can also attest to that. I guarantee you, you won't walk away from Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab without learning something. And this happens each and every Saturday on our sister station, AM 360, and it starts at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. That's each and every Saturday. And for that, you have to call in. You have to call in to AM 360 Radio. And I hope you got your pens and pads, and you can take this number down. I'm going to repeat it twice. And there's two numbers, because if they get an overflow, then you can't get in on one line. You can come in on the other line. The first number is 515-605-9891. I'm going to repeat that again, 515-605-9891. And there's an alternative number where you can still get into AM 360 to tune in on Saturday for Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab. And that number is 425-292-4253. Once again, the call in to AM 360 Radio is 425-292-4253. Please tune in each and every Saturday, 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. I guarantee you won't be disappointed. You're going to learn some things and maybe refresh your memory, maybe some things that you might have forgotten if you're a seasoned Shahada. And also we want you to know that here on IWDM Radio, we do support the Muslim Journal. If you have a subscription, please keep your subscription up. If Allah has blessed you with the wherewithal, think about a family member. Think about a friend, a colleague. Think about a pioneer or maybe your local library that you can actually get a subscription for where many can read the Muslim Journal. And last but not least, IWDM Radio, we do support this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful to be held in Newark, New Jersey, which is a new home for the Muslim Journal. So I look to be there, look to see you there. So make sure you go ahead and get registered, and I'll be looking forward to hearing some of you that listen to me on the radio here nationally to come up and say, Assalamu alaikum, Mark Shahid. It's good to see you, and I would appreciate that. So I want to thank our radio listeners, because without you, there wouldn't be IWDM Radio. A special thanks goes to my engineer, Rashid Salam, and also the priest Abdul Hadi for doing an excellent job, because without them, you wouldn't be able to hear me. So until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum. And this tune that's coming up is for our honored couple, Henry and Joyce Hasid. So hopefully they're still listening. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.
For you I'll sacrifice.
Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, my salam.